Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Good morning, and welcome to Worship Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I tell you, my senses and my emotions and my feelings are heightened this morning. And you know, we're talking about the Word of God, and when our feelings, you know, we get one side of it or we get the other side of it, where do we go for truth? Well, we go to the Word. We go to the Word. And we've been talking about being in the Word. And we're going to talk about today how to stay how to have God's Word integrated into our lives on a daily basis. But I tell you, I'm pretty excited. I'm kind of up and down roller coaster today. We've got a lot of praises and a lot of things that we are. This song crying out to the Lord about some things, you know. I see DJ here. DJ hadn't been here in a while. DJ is, he's been healing from an accident. And my brother is here today to worship Jesus with his family, right? Amen. You know, my older son, Jesse, and his girlfriend, Kara, are here today. They came in for the weekend. We got to spend it with them. That was, like, exciting, you know, spend some time with them. They're in town for a while. So my emotions are kind of on a high. We're praying for Pastor Aaron, his wife Laura, his son Easton, he's got something going on right now, and we're praying healing over him and frustration and peace in their life, and for God to do some miracle work in Easton's life and in their family. So, man, the senses are like, just, whoo, Lord, come do some things. Our new youth pastor's here. And not just him, his beautiful wife is here. I'd like them to stand right now. Y'all stand right there. This is Grant and this is Bridget. They're here. Bridget's parents have joined us today. We're so glad they're here with us from South Carolina. We're gonna celebrate them at the end of the service, but we're all here for a reason. We're here to hear from God. We're here to give. You know, I've often thought about putting a sign out at the front of the doors that says, empty yourself here because God's going to fill you up, right? And that's what we come to do. We got to give it all out. We came to give to God. And in our giving, God gives us back. He fills us with what we need. But is your heart ready to receive that? That's what I ask you. Did you come in today with a heart that's ready to receive that? Because if you're not, you're not going to get all that the Holy Spirit has for you. And as we wrap up a message series today called 40 Days in the Word, it's important that you get this. It's important that you get that the Word is vital to your survival. You can go along living in this world, and you can go up and you can down, and you can be devastated by trials and things, and you can have these mountaintop experiences. But if there's not giving glory to a source, if there's not being lived in each one of those situations by the living Word of God, then it's all for naught. You know, it's all for nothing. Because we're here for a purpose. You're the church. We're the church. And God has placed a purpose inside of us when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And by the power of the Spirit, we live out our purpose through the valleys and through the mountaintop experiences. But it's the Word of God. It's the living, breathing breath of God that gets us through. But we have to be in it, church. And that's what this is about. It's about cultivating that relationship with God's Word. This is our last week of the 40 Days in the Word message. But hopefully, just the beginning of a new habit. And not just a habit, but a hunger for desiring to know and be changed by the Word of God. Because we said, God's Word isn't primarily to inform you, it's primarily to change you. And you have to submit to that when you read God's Word. So I want to do a little wrap up and talk about how do I keep on keeping on in God's Word? How do I maintain a heart for God's word? How do I keep on continuing in the skills and the habits that we've been developing the last 6 weeks? And also to say, even though our life groups are wrapping up, and I want to tell you this right now, and Pastor Aaron's here today, and we finished up our video, and we can get some more books. So if you didn't get a chance to participate in the 6 weeks of studying in the workbook, I'm here to give you my CD today, my DVD, because I want you to say that it's time for me to do that. So these groups don't stop. If God's leading you and you need the skills and you need the methods and you need to know how, then you need to start it today. So if you feel led today by the Spirit to say, I want to come and I want to facilitate a group, or I want to get a group of people and I want us to go through it, we're going to make that happen today for you. So it's right here. You can have mine. We've gone through it. Our group has benefited. We have our group service project today, but you need to be a part of that. It needs to be in your life. So that's for you. Anybody that wants to come get that first today, I want to see it gone. And not Pastor Aaron to come get it. I want somebody to come get it today that is ready to do that. Jesus said in John 8, if you continue in my word, then you're really my followers. You're really my disciples if you continue in my word. He didn't say if you go through the 40 days and you're done with it. It doesn't stop there. If you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. You are truly my followers. When I was in high school, I went from junior high. That was the last year of junior high school in Columbus, Ohio. So I actually went up to high school not as the lower class, because ninth grade was in junior high then, and I was a ninth grader. So we were moving up. That was the last year of junior high, and ninth grade was going to high school. So I was going up as a sophomore, and the eighth graders behind me were going up as freshmen, so I wasn't the lower class. But there was a high school that was about probably 1 mile from me, North High School. That's where I was supposed to go to high school. But that year was the year of desegregation. And so a bus came up the street, and I had to walk like 3 blocks to get to the bus stop, but it bussed us to, you know, almost 4 miles away. And in desegregation, if you know about desegregation, they were taking the white schools and the black schools and they were mixing them. And so I was going from an almost white school into an almost primarily black school. And believe me, I loved it. I was ready. You know, it was only a walk to school there, but I was getting bused. So we went into a place where it was like 90% black. It ended up being like 60-40 after the desegregation. But the desegregation was about putting people together, about desegregating people, not keeping them segregated, apart. It was about bringing together. But here's the thing with desegregation. You can't just put people together. There has to be something else that happens in there when they come together. And it's called integration. And integration means that we are not only in the same space together, that we are sharing life together. That we are not just, you're standing there and I'm standing here. We are coming together to do whatever we're going to do. We're learning together. We're playing sports together. We're in clubs together. We're talking. We're integrating our lives together. And church, that's what the Bible needs to do in your life. It's not just about reading it. It's not just about being in the same place. Oh, there's my Bible on the coffee table. Yeah, I got to get into that sometime. No, the Bible needs to get into you. It needs to be integrated into your life. Follower of Christ who has the Spirit of living in God in them, there are no parts of our lives that should be governed and lived out differently than the other parts of our lives. We've said in here before that for the believer, every decision, every consideration, every action should be guided by the same Spirit. You have one Spirit living in you. You may have, okay, I go to work here, I go to school here, I go shopping here, I have a club over here, I have church over here, but you see, you have one life and one Spirit. And the one Spirit guides every part, so you have one life to make you whole. And that's what the Spirit does, but it doesn't just make you whole. The Spirit is in you to make you holy. Because we can't do that on our own. We can't do that on our own. So how do we maintain a heart for God's word? How do we integrate God's word into every area of our life so it becomes one? That's our discovery this morning. I want you to live that kind of life. I want you to become a man of the word, of God's word. I want you to become a woman of God's word. Do you want that for yourself is what you've got to ask. Do you really want that? Are you willing to make the changes in your life to make that so, to make it true? God wants that for you. Scripture tells us that when God's word goes out, it will not return void. When a church is full of men and women who are about the word, who are in the word, they go out, and by the power of the Holy Spirit in them, God's word will yield a harvest of hearts ready to turn to him and walk in obedience. That's about it not coming back void. Because you go out with God's word, you're a man of God's word, you're a woman of God's word, so his word goes out from here, and when we touch other people's lives and they are changed, then his word doesn't come back void. It comes back for the purpose it was meant to. You are that vessel, man of God, woman of God, to carry God's word in you out. But you can't carry what is not in you. Vessels are meant to carry, to be filled up. We can go out as empty vessels and have nothing to give the people that God has called us to give to. And that's on us, because God's ready and willing to give it, to fill us up. But sometimes we come in here already full, don't we? We come in here with our attitudes. We come in here with our opinions. And we say, this is the way it should be. Instead of saying, God, I'm going to empty it out. How is it that you want it to be, Lord? We got an election coming up. Are you telling God what should happen? Are you saying, God, whatever happens, I want to walk in that. God, I want to be for you. With people, even people that believe different than me. I want to act differently with those people. You know, in the news and stuff, we have all kinds of people. It's not about who's best of the party. They try to let you know that who's worse and shouldn't be the leader, right? So it's all about tearing the other person down instead of building you up or talking about those things. We all have good and bad parts about us, right? Nobody's perfect. But we need to be about the encouragement side, building people up. There'll be things that we disagree with. But you know what? God raises kings and God puts kings down. And if God says so, who are we to say no? We need to walk in what God has for us and let his word live through us. So how does that happen? It isn't going to happen at all unless you have the desire within you to make it happen. If you have no intention, if you don't really desire to be a man of God's word, if you don't desire to be a woman of God's word, it's never going to happen. It starts with a desire within you to say, I want to know God's word, and I want it in me so I can give it. In Psalm 119, it says, what I want most of all and at all times is to honor your laws. Is that something that you think about? Is God, I want most of all to walk in obedience to you? Or do you say, God, what I want most of all is to you to honor my request? Because sometimes they don't go together. Because, you know, we do go to God with selfish intent sometimes. Even Scripture says, when you come to God, check your motives. Check your attitude. David is saying here in this Scripture that I want to be a man of the word, is what he's saying. Whether I'm at work or I'm at home or at a game or I'm playing with my kids or I'm on the golf course, I want to be the man or woman God wants me to be because I have his word in me. I want my life to be led and guided and directed by the word of God, not by popular opinion. Using verses of scripture, let's consider how we can integrate God's word into our lives on a daily basis. Not just be able to say it, but to do it. So firstly, we must build on it. To integrate God's word in our life, we must build upon what is already there. And at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says these words in Matthew 7. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the... Very good. You know your scripture. The wise man is associated with building his house on the rock. If you build your life on the rock of truth, truth never changes. Truth is absolute, right? Opinion changes, but truth doesn't change. If it's true, it was true 1,000 years ago, and it'll be true 1,000 years from now. Opinion does change, though. But if you build on the rock of God's word, then you're going to build on the stability of something that never changes. When the rogue winds of life come, when the storms of life come, when the trials and troubles and temptations of all those tough times inevitably come into your life, you're not blown away. You're not even blown over. You don't crumble like most people will because they are not on the solid ground of truth. You're built on a rock foundation. Years ago, one of my really good friends, he and his wife were having their first child. And it was about a month out from the due date, about when she was due, and they couldn't find a heartbeat. And the baby was dead inside of her. But she had to go through labor normal. She had to go through it. And so I called my friend, and I prayed for him, and I was praying with him. He's in Louisville, Kentucky. And we got to talking, and I said, man, I'm so sorry, and I'm praying for you, and God loves you. And he said, Mike, I know. I sat there in the rocking chair with her, and she just looked like a baby doll. And I sat there with her, and I just thanked God that he was in my life. Because he said to me, he says, Mike, I don't know how anybody can go through this without God. He knew God's word in him. He knew the promises. He trusted in the promises. And the truth never changes. God is yesterday, today, and forever the same. And his word, scripture says, will remain. When all else fails, his word remains. Trust in his word. Integrate his word into your life. On the other hand, if you build on shifting sands of opinion or whatever happens to be popular, then you're going to be unstable in all your ways, in your decisions, in your actions, in your expectations. Everything about you will be on shaky ground. The foundation will crumble and the foundation will move. And when it moves, you move. So here's what you don't want to build your foundation on. Just listen to these. You don't want to build it on popular culture. The problem is that whatever is popular today is going to be unpopular tomorrow. Whatever is in style today is going to be out of style at some point. Check your clothes. Whatever is cool today will not be cool tomorrow. So it's constantly changing the foundation if you put it on popular culture. Exodus 23 says this, do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. Right? Why? Because the crowd is often wrong. It's guided by popular opinion. You don't want to build your foundation on tradition. And I might step on a few toes here right now, but a lot of people build their lives on tradition, like it's truth. In other words, I do it because I've always done it. Or my parents have always done it. Or my grandparents have always done it. And they pass it down to me, so it's something that I should always do. We've always done it that way. And tradition, don't get me wrong, traditions aren't bad in and of themselves. In fact, something becomes a tradition because it works, right? But no tradition lasts forever. Truth lasts forever, but no tradition lasts forever. Traditions eventually wear out, they become obsolete, and they are not valid. If it doesn't move us toward our goal, toward growth, toward the vision, then it could be holding us back. And that's the same for anything, even in the church. Even in the church. I heard Pastor Rick Warren say the other day, I was listening to one of his messages, and he was talking about this thing they do in October where it's for kids. It's a big kids event. And, you know, one of their goals is about getting people in relationships. And of larger churches, that's one of the toughest things that they have to overcome is getting people to feel important and intimate in relationships because they're so big. But one of their goals, one of their primary core values is relationships with people. So they had this big children's event, and they thought 1,000 or 2,000 people, kids, because they're a big church anyway, I mean, 1,000 or 2,000 kids in here, that would be incredible, right? But they ended up getting like close to 10,000 kids in their event. And he said from the platform, he says, we're canceling it. He said, we're canceling it. It was success. We're canceling it because it was successful, he said. And I'm going, okay, wait a minute. There's a point here coming. There's something here. But you see, their core values were relationships. This event was working against relationships. They wanted to get people together, to do life together, to know each other, so Christ would be known in them. Yes, it was a great event to draw people, but if that's all it was, and it didn't promote the core value of what God had given their church, it's got to go. It was great, and we drew people to the church, so that kind of goes against what we think is success, right? What we think is victory. But look at Scripture. You're only found when you're lost, right? You're only strong when you're weak, right? We got to follow God, not popular opinion. And God will show us the way to go. It may not seem that way on the outside when people looking in. It's like, well, wait a minute, why are we canceling that? That was so good. But that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to do this right here because there are people who aren't here yet that need that. And if we can't wait till they get here because they're not going to come if we don't have something for them in this area. So we need to start something in this area so people will come because God wants to change them. So we have to look at what God wants us to do, and that comes from being in His Word and knowing His Word. Mark 7:8 says, you have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. Let us never be guilty of that. When we put tradition before truth, that's when we get in trouble with God. And then the other thing you don't want to build your life on is reason. Your foundation on reason. In fact, God gives us the ability to reason, of course. But sometimes what you think is reasonable is not actually right. I've always thought, you ever said that? I've always thought. But you know what? It really doesn't matter what you've always thought. And I'm sorry. What matters is what's right to do in that circumstance that you have at that moment. What's the right thing to do? What is God leading you to do? And being in His Word will help you know that. Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it's the way is death. How many times have you made a decision that you thought was reasonable? I need to marry this person. I need to get into this business. I need to accept this job offer. I need to make this investment. And what seemed like the right thing was an absolute disaster. We've all been there. Because your reason isn't always infallible. We have to check ourselves with God. You make mistakes. I make mistakes. And here's one we're most familiar with that we a lot of times build our foundation on, emotion. Some people build their lives simply on emotion. They build their lives on a feeling. If it feels right, I do it. If it feels wrong, I don't do it. In other words, I do what I feel like doing. But there's a problem with that. Feelings lie. And your feelings sometimes tell you things are going great when they aren't. And your feelings sometimes tell you things are going to fall apart when they're actually better than you think they are. Feelings lie to us all the time. They're highly unreliable. If you build your life simply on emotions, there's a word for that, and it's called immaturity. And I'm sorry if you're offended by that, but that's the truth. Maturity and wisdom is when you act according to your values, according to your convictions, and according to what's right rather than what I feel like doing at the time. Building on emotions happens more when you have no leader in your life or you have ascribed bad leadership to your life. In the book of Judges, chapter 21, it says this, at that time there was no king in Israel, and people did whatever they felt like doing. There's a leader in our life, and he wants to be leader. Have you let him be leader? Have you let him be Lord? Because that's the same thing. When we say we want to be saved, are you also saying you want him to be Lord? Because salvation gets us to heaven. It's where that's our home now. But he also wants to guide us while we're here and living out the purpose he's called us to. And he has the right way. He has the truthful way. He has the foundation that's a rock. Then when we stand on it, we will not be shaken way. And he is Jesus Christ. And you sit here and you told him that he was Lord. Now we need to check ourselves. Is he really Lord? Well, he's Lord over here, but I haven't made him Lord over here. Yet, I think he understands. He knows I need to handle this right now. feel like my brother Craig right there when he's teaching us and the men's thing. He's over, he gets all excited and he says, now I made Lord here, but I over here I hadn't made him Lord, and he wants to be Lord over here too, and I've got to learn to let him have it. And we do. We got to give it over to him and not take it back, because he wants to be Lord. So first, we need to integrate the Word of God into our lives, is build on it. We build on it. And then we feed on it. The Bible tells us that the Word of God is spiritual food. In fact, it uses several pictures. The Bible describes itself as water, the milk, the bread, and the meat of spiritual life. And one of my favorite scriptures, and I've told you, is when Jeremiah says, the Word came to me and I ate it. I love that word picture. I love it. So that's everything you're going to need for sustenance, spiritually, to guide us. But you have to be feeding yourself. You have to be eating something. Because just like you need physical food for physical strength, you've got to have spiritual food for spiritual strength. So you have to be feeding yourself constantly, all the time. Have you ever heard someone says, well, I can't go to that church anymore. I'm not being spiritually fed. Pastors hate to hear that. You think it's my responsibility to feed you? It is not my responsibility to feed you. It's my responsibility to follow God, to tell you these things, and I won't use that metaphor because I might get in trouble with that metaphor. In other words, you need to be big girls and big boys, okay? God has given you the ability, because it's your relationship with him. It's not you coming through me. Those days are gone. I am not a high priest. Jesus is our high priest. The Holy of Holies has already been opened up, right? The veil was rent, and he made a way. So I'm not going in there. Nobody's tying a rope to my ankle. And I'm not going in there and be feared that I'm going to be struck dead. That's on you now, right? It's on each of us, right? So go to him. Go to him. The way is open. He wants to speak in your life. But you got to go with nothing on and say, God, speak. Fill me up so I can be the vessel that you have called me to be. I want you to be my leader. Not popular opinion, not emotion, not reason, not tradition. So we feed on the Bible, so that everything you're going to need for sustenance is there. The Bible says that we're all in a building mode. The Bible also says that we're all in spiritual warfare. You're not going to have much success on building your life or in winning spiritual battles if you're starving to death. If there's nothing in here, there's nothing that can sustain you to stand up under the temptations of evil. Instead of running from temptation, you'll stand there and try to endure it when you're weak and you have nothing in you, and you will fall to temptation. So we need to be feeding ourselves in the Word of God. Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's the first part of that verse. Let it dwell on you. Let it move in you. Let it inhabit you. Let it take up residence in you in a rich, profound, and life-giving way. That's what that verse is saying. This weekend, a few of us got to move in, Grant and Bridget, to their new dwelling place. To me and you, that's an apartment. And we got them. We unloaded that truck just like that, man. It was so good. They were so packed and so neat in there. And we got it all in there. And it was great to get all their stuff into the place where they're going to dwell. But then we left them to do what they need to do about getting it in the right place, right? All of the stuff that they have, pictures on the wall, furniture, move around two or three times before you get it right, put the bed together, hook up the TV. They've got to get that place where they're dwelling in a place where they're comfortable, where they're familiar with, the way that it's supposed to be for them. And the other thing is, if they want to hang on to that stuff, they don't leave the door open 24/7, right? It's like, we're leaving, I'm just going to leave the door open, it's okay. It's all right. If they keep doing that, someone's going to recognize that their door is open and they're not home, and they're going to have themselves to their stuff. When God moves in and His Spirit moves in us and His Word comes into us, it's meant to be comfortable in there. Not like, I mean, it's going to convict us, right? But it's all for the good. And then He's also going to encourage us, and that's all for the good, right? And it's going to become familiar. God's Word needs to move in and inhabit us and become a place for it to live. And everything is in the right place. But here's the thing. We leave doors open to our heart. We leave doors open to our heart. And Satan, he finds a foothold and he comes in to steal, kill, and destroy, right? And when we leave that part of our life open and not let the Word move into that part of our life, Satan's going to take it. And he's going to destroy it. He's going to break it. He's going to steal it. And we can't let him do it. When God's Word moves in, let it take up residence through our whole heart. Let it come in and change us. Church, for God's Word to dwell in us, it has to take up residence, make a home for itself. And a way to keep it there is not to let it be taken away. And how do we do this? Now, these may sound elementary, but when the Word is dwelling in you richly, we need elementary. Right? So here are the things. And these were in the study. If you went through the group study, these are some of the things. We must hear the Word. We got to put ourselves in a position to regularly hear the Word. Faith comes through hearing the Word of God, Scripture says. Anything you put into your ears, sermons, teaching, Christian music that is communicating God's Word, is hearing God's Word. That's there's a statistic that says we forget about 95% of what we hear. My wife would tell you, for me, it's 105%. But because I have to keep asking, what did you say? What did you say? Anybody there with me? Just a few? Okay, a few of us. Mostly men, I see. Okay, all right. We can resonate with each other, all right? But we have got to continually put ourselves in the place to hear God's Word. We must hear, and then we must read God's Word. We hear and we read God's Word. Reading is a way to retain. What I see with my eyes becomes a picture in my mind. I can retain more by reading, but not everything I read, I retain. I also need to research. This is where studying comes in. Research it with my hands and with my mouth. Using my hands to write things down from Scripture as I study and using my mouth to talk about it with other people. Because when I'm talking about it and resonating, I hear what they think, what God's given them, and they're hearing what God's given me, and we're learning together. Somebody I do that with often is one of our elders and a good friend of mine, Tim Garrett. He comes to me all the time. He'll text me and say, Pastor Mike, read this scripture here in Jeremiah and read this scripture over here. And I'm reading them, and Tim always comes up with something for me. It's like it makes me think really hard. And that's good. But he gave me these two passages. I'm going, man, they had nothing to do with each other. What are you talking about? I texted him. I said, yeah, I read it. But where are you going with this? And so later on, we have a time to, after I've read it and he's read it, and we talk about it. He loves coming up and talking about God's Word like that, and I love that he loves that. Sometimes it's inconvenient for me, but that's okay. I make time. I say, I don't have time right now, brother. We'll do it in a little bit. So, but we do that. We talk about God's Word. And then we have to reflect on God's Word, meditate on God's Word. Any of you ever talk to yourself? Raise your hand if you have. There you go. Wow, a lot of people rose their hand for that one. Talk to yourself throughout the day. That's a way to reflect on it. To be thinking over and over all through the day about what the Lord might have said to you in His Word. You know, when I'm taking an early morning walk in my neighborhood or I go over to the park in the afternoon, that is my time to talk to the Lord too about whatever. I just pour out my heart, or I'm talking about Scripture. I'm saying, Lord, what did you mean by that? And I don't do it in my head. I actually talk. It's like I talk out loud. But today you can do it. All you have to do is put headphones in your hair, in your ears. And people talk to people all the time with their phones. And so, you know, I put it in there. They don't know I'm talking to the Lord. They think I'm talking to somebody on my phone. It's like, so it's great. But what, talk out loud to the Lord. Anybody ever do that? I go, most mornings before I come up here, I get here early in my office. I'm printing stuff out, printing my message out, and I'm praying. I'll speak out loud in my office. There's no silence in there. God knows me. He wants me to talk to Him. So I'm just talking aloud. It's like, Lord, and I mean, I guess it shouldn't be unusual if a church person came by my office and said, man, Pastor Mike is going crazy. He's talking to somebody in there. You should know that it's the Lord we're talking to, right? We need the Lord for everything, and we need to reflect on what he's given us so that we can remember, not just with our minds, but with our hearts. We got to remember with our hearts. How many like drink tea? Hot tea. Hot tea. I love hot tea. I grew up drinking hot tea. I still drink hot tea. But if you ever take a glass of water, hot water, and you take a tea bag and you stick it in there one time, is that going to be enough? That's not going to be enough. That's like sticking more cream in your coffee. Have a little coffee with your cream kind of thing. No, that doesn't work. So the tea bag, you dip it once and it yields very little. The more you dip, the tastier the flavor, right? The more you dip, the richer the color, right? The more you dip, the greater the strength, right? So to integrate God's word in our lives, we must first build on it, then we feed on it, and thirdly, we live by it. The word of God is not only food for our soul, the word of God is our standard of living. It's got to change us. It can't be, I dip my foot in the word, I did it on Monday morning, and I'm good for the rest of the week. It's not strong enough. It's not rich enough. It's not tastier enough. It's got to be a regular occurrence in our lives. It is the word of God that sets the standard by which you judge everything else you value in your life. It's the standard by which you make decisions for the things you are facing in life. You've got to build your life on something. You've got to base those decisions on something. It comes when we allow the word of God to become the standard by which we live. The Bible says in Psalm 1, and it's not going to be on the screen, blessed is the one who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but who meditates on the word of God. What does that mean? It means if you want your life to be blessed, you don't build your life on the counsel of the world, on the way of the world thinks, but you meditate, you build your life on the way God thinks. Psalm 1:3 says this, and I want to finish that part out because it just speaks it so boldly and clearly. Psalm 1:3 says what that person looks like when they meditate on God's word. Their roots run deep. They are like a tree planted by streams of water. And their fruit, it yields in every season. And their leaves don't wither. And that last part says they prosper in everything they do. So it goes to reason that if we have God's word in it, not just reading it, but it's in us and it's taken a hold of us, we will prosper in every area of our life. Every area of our life, that's where God's word has to be for it to prosper. For it to yield fruit. And that's what he called last week. We said he doesn't just want us to be faithful. He wants us to be, okay, thank you. One person said it. So everybody else has got to go back and listen to last week's message this week. It's not just faithful. He wants us to be fruitful in what we do. It's the word of God that will give you hope when you're in crisis. It's the word of God that will give you comfort when you're in despair. It's the word of God that will give you strength when you are weak. It's the word of God that will give you wisdom when you're confused. It's the word of God that will give you guidance when you're looking for direction. It's the word of God that will give you strength to resist, to fight against temptation. Psalm 119 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So if we want to avoid sin, God's word's got to be in here. If we want a battle, and it's a spiritual warfare, we got to have our weapons, prayer and the word of God, the spiritual armor that talks about, right? Remember last week, we talked about Jesus being tempted by the devil when he came off his fasting for 40 days. The devil came at him with scripture, so he thought. You know, he's a twister of lies and a twister of God's word. But every time the devil said something to Jesus, Jesus says, it is written. He came at him again, and Jesus said, it is written. He came at him again for a third time, and Jesus said, it is written. See, God already said it. God already breathed it. And God is my Father. And Jesus said later on, he says, I only do what my Father has called me to do. I am about the will of my Father. So Satan be gone. See, to battle sin, to battle temptation, we got to know the word of God. It's got to be in us. And everybody in here is weak. In some area, and that's where the devil's going to be working. In your weak area. He's not going to battle your strength. Are you kidding me? He'll take you down in the weak area, and then when you get discouraged, something else is going to get weak. And he's going to get there. And it's until he has every place, compartment. So every place in, let the word take residence. Let it be where it's supposed to be in every corner, in every crook, in every cranny of your heart, of your mind, and of your living it out. And then the devil has no power over you, believer. Right. But back to the teabag illustration. You know, when we keep digging, or we keep dipping the teabag into the water, it doesn't become water anymore. It becomes tea. I love sweet tea. Doesn't love me all the time, but I love sweet tea. But when I dip that teabag in there, and I get it to the right strength, and it gets to the right color, and it gets to the right taste, it's no longer water. It's tea. It changes. It changes. When you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, you absorb the nature of Christ, the flavor and the aroma of Christ. But something else happens to you. You take on a whole new identity and you become the man or the woman that God has intended you to be when the word is in you, and it's in you all the time, and it's making you richer for the world, tastier to the world. Remember, we're the salt of the earth and the light. God wants you to be that. You can't be that without the word. It's got to change you. It's got to make you into that. So God takes you and uses you. To integrate God's word in our lives, we build on it, we feed on it, we live by it, and fourthly, we grow through it. We discovered a couple weeks ago that the Bible is often referred to as the seed, the word planted in us. It's planted in our hearts. When the truth is planted in your heart and it finds good soil, it grows and it produces fruit. Church, if there's no root, if it's not growing, if the roots aren't deep, if there's no root, there's no fruit. It can't be. God wants you to be fruitful in your life. In order for that to happen, you've got to open your heart. You've got to have a receptive heart to his word. You've got to have good soil in your life. Psalm 119, 18 says, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." He will open them. He will help you see. There are lots of wonderful things in the Bible, but you can't see them unless God opens your eyes. That means being receptive. In Luke chapter 8, we know this story about the parable of the soils, right? The parable of the sower. Jesus was talking to a crowd that gathered around him. He tells the story of a sower who scattered seed. We know the story. Four different soil types. The first type, ground was hard and the seed could not sprout and grow at all. It becomes snatched up quickly and instantly. The second type, ground was stony. The seed was able to plant and begin to grow. However, it could not grow deep roots and withered in the sun. The third type of ground was thorny, and although the seed could plant and grow, it could not compete with the amount of thorns that overtook it, the weeds. The fourth ground was good soil and allowed the seed to plant deep, grow, and produce fruit. We know that story. We've heard it. But Jesus uses this parable to explain to his followers and disciples how there are different responses to the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. The soil of the parable is Jesus, and the seed is God's word. The hard ground represents someone who has a hardened heart full of sin that hears the word of God but does not accept it. And for the believer, sometimes our hearts are hardened, and we don't want to hear that. Lord, I don't want to hear that right now. I just want to be in my own pity. Lord doesn't want you to be there. That's where Satan can get you. Our heart has been hardened. He doesn't want our heart to be hard. Satan is able to keep this person from growing at all. The stony ground is someone who shows interest and awareness in the gospel, yet his heart is fully convicted so that when trouble isn't fully convicted, so that when trouble comes, his faith is not strong enough to stand up. In other words, you say you believe it, but do you really believe it? The thorny ground is a person who receives the gospel and who has many other idols and distractions, worries, riches, lust, which take over his mind and his heart, and the truth cannot penetrate, because that's the person that says that I love the Lord, but I love what I had before the Lord too. And I want to keep some of that over here. But like the song says, are we surrendering all? It's everything or nothing at all, right? Jesus spoke the parable of the sower to teach how important the state of our heart is to receiving the gospel. And the good soil is someone who has heard and received the word of God and allows it to take root and grow in his or her life. The person represents true salvation that bears fruit. Remember back in the scripture says, planted firmly by the waters, deep roots go deep, so that in season, no matter what season, you're yielding fruit for the kingdom of God. And that brings us to our fifth way to integrate God's word into our life. By our actions. They will know we are Christians by our words. That's right. Not by our words. By expressing God's word through us in loving people. That's how they'll know. Out of the overflow of a man or woman who's filled with the word of God. You have faith, show me your faith by what you do. Boy, you guys are just, there's only a couple of you today. Is everybody asleep? Raise your hand if you're not asleep. Okay, that's only half of you, so the rest of you are asleep. All right, okay. James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Remember, we said a couple weeks ago that most Christians only do the parts of the Bible that they believe. An example is, I read God in God's word that he says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. You don't want me to go this direction, do you? And he says, see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. That says to me that if I'm not tithing or being generous with the prosperity that God has given me towards his church, towards the vision he has given his church, then I don't believe that God will do what he promises. Church, the blessing is triggered, is put into motion when I act on what I believe to be true. The blessing is triggered. Do I believe God or do I not believe God? You know, when I talk to couples in premarital counseling, we talk about, you know, Christian couples that, you know, everything you have is God's, right? Do you believe that? Yes, everything I believe is God's. Everything I believe, everything I have belongs to God. Have you made a budget up together? Have you all talked about, you know, joint accounts, or are you going to keep separate accounts, or what? Everything belongs to God. So in their budget, they talk about a lot of different things, but they never mention the tithe or the giving to the church. And I say, wait a minute. In your budget, you said everything's God's. It's like in that budget, there you didn't say anything about tithing, about giving to the church, about giving to the things God has called, being generous. Oh, and sometimes they'll say, it's like, well, we're not there. Once we get enough money, we're going to tithe. Wait a minute. Tithe is the first and the best to God. And then when we give the first and the best to God, he blesses the rest. So we always, and when we read scripture, we always have enough to tithe. It's the perspective in what we do with it. If it comes first, there's always enough. No matter if I have $10, if I have $100, if I have $100,000, we should always have enough because it comes first. And so we talk about that. And we say that you give to God. If you do what God has called you to do and honor him, he will honor you. The last thing we do to integrate God's word is trust in it. Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. We call it the flashlight verse. What do you need to do when you are in the dark and need to move? You turn on a flashlight to see your way, to see the path that which you're to take. When I am at my house and I have to get up in the middle of the night to go do something, whether it's the bathroom or the dog's barking or something else, I normally don't have to turn a light on because I know where everything is in my house. I know how far it is to the door so I can turn it and not wake Charla up, and I can get to the doorknob in the dark. I can walk to the bathroom in the dark because I know how many steps it is. I can walk out into the living room and I can step, unless the dog's toys are strewn all over the place and I trip over something, of course. But I know where everything is in the dark. But you put me in your house in the dark, I ain't gonna be able to find my way. I'm gonna be paralyzed because I'm afraid I'm gonna get hurt. And so I need my flashlight. In our lives, there are things in our lives that are comfortable that we know how to navigate, so we think. But if we're living the life God wants us to live, we're stepping out in faith. There'll be things that we don't know and things we don't understand. God, I don't know why you're taking me this way. I don't know this way. He says, right, you don't know this way. I know this way, and I need you to go this way. I need you to take every step as I light it. As I show you, take it. It's faith. And you're not going to know. So my word is lighting the path for you. And when I light it up, you take the step. I don't want you to be comfortable and know everything. God's a mystery. If you knew everything, then you don't need God. And God's a God who wants to be needed. He created us for that, for a relationship with Him. So the next time you're in the dark and you're confused and you don't know which way to turn and you don't know what to do or where to go, you say, God, you've said in Psalm 119, your word is a light to my feet and a lamp for my path. God, keep your promise. I'm going to start reading your word. Lord, show me what you want me to do. Lighten my path. God, light my way. I want to know in your word. You promise that I will know if I'm in your word. God, let your word take control of me, and I will know. So there you are. What you need to know to begin, maintain, and sustain a transformational life of studying God's word. And if you miss anything, it's on our website. And here's the other thing, and I know it's a little past the time, is, church, if you're not meeting with other people who love the word of God as much as you do, or maybe even more, then I don't think you're giving yourself a chance to really study God's word. Because a lot of times when we're on our own, we get distracted, we're not disciplined, other things come up. But when we meet with people, we can hold each other accountable. We can talk about God's word. That's why groups are so important, life groups. It's doing life with people. And life is about knowing God's word and helping each other with God's word. Not only that, a support to pray for each other, be there for each other. Groups are important. This is a good time, yes, but this doesn't give you what you need. Step up and take responsibility for your spiritual growth. You're not going to get that from Pastor Mike. I'm going to encourage you, but you got to take the steps to put yourself in a posture to receive God's word. Let it take a hold of you and let it be lived out. You can do that with a small group of people. And I'm going to encourage you to do that, whatever it takes to do that. You know, God has called us to many things. One of the things, and some of those things haven't been revealed yet, but there are some things in Scripture He's called us to. He's called us to remember what He did for us. That Jesus died for us. He gave His life. He gave His blood for us, for redemption, for cleansing, for purification, for forgiveness, for salvation. If we receive it, He gave it to us. And for those who have, we celebrate that every week with the juice and the bread, communion. And not in vain. Remember, we come with a heart to give to God. And if we come to give, God always fills it back up. So come remembering what Jesus did for you, the sacrifice He made for you. It wasn't in vain, so don't let your life be in vain. He has everything you need. Thank Him for that. And He's called us to be supportive by being here, being a part, being committed, and with our financial resources to the vision and the ministry that He's given us for this community. And that's giving, tithing, being generous, being sacrificial in our giving, giving as you are prospered. And so at the tables at this time of our worship, you'll find that both of those are at the tables. You come and receive the gift of knowing that Christ died for you and celebrate that and thank Him. And then you bring your offering, you bring your tithe, because you're committed to what God has called you to be committed to. And you're going to be faithful in that. I'm not going to tell you what to give. I'm only encourage you what Scripture says to give and how to walk through it with a joyful heart. So be faithful in those things, because God's word says it. And when we honor God's word and what His very breath has said, He will honor us and provide all that we need. Amen? Let me pray. Father God, we love you. Thank you for today, Father. We thank you for your love. We thank you for precision. We thank you for your word. You've already spoken. You've said it. That settles it. We just need to get on board with it. So God, help us to do that. Help us put ourselves in a position to have your word take hold of us, because we will be changed forevermore and we will grow into the man or the woman you called us to be. At this moment, Lord, we want to honor you and remember the sacrifice that you made by taking this communion. May our hearts be pure in this time, Father, and rejoice in the gift and also be grateful for what you did, Jesus. Thank you. And may the gifts that we bring today Father, honor you, be pleasing to you, bring joy to our heart, God. And we know that if we give out of a pure heart all that you've called us to give, Father, you will honor and you will multiply and you will bless it for your glory. So we ask that now in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen.